1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you were with us about a month ago, I preached a message on what most Christians miss in the Lord's Supper. And I kind of want to expand on that tonight by really just going through the passage here that we have in the Bible, the most extensive passage, instruction to the church on the Lord's Supper. And I hope to, over this week and next week, this will be a two-part message. And that means we are actually going to have the Lord's Supper tonight and next week. And so we'll have the Lord's Supper both Sunday evenings. But I want to look at this passage and really just go through the text and see what was going on in the Corinthian church and why Paul writes what he does to these believers, and hopefully clear up some misunderstandings that Christians have when it regards certain passages here in the Lord's Supper. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll read the entire thing here, or the entire passage on the Lord's Supper, which starts in verse number 17. And then goes all the way to the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 17. Paul says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come." Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we look at these verses tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We're thankful for the record that you have given unto us. And Lord, that it is truth. And Lord, when we have any areas or we need wisdom, we can go to your record and look into your perfect law of liberty and find the answers therein. Lord, I pray that we would be people that are obedient to this book, that this book would have its highest priority in our life. Whenever our flesh wants us to go against the book, Lord, may we continue to obey you. When this world tries to get us to doubt your book, may we continue to obey you. Lord, when Satan tries to get us to doubt your word, may we continue to obey you. Lord, tonight as we open up your book again and read from it, I pray you would help us to understand exactly what you would have for us to understand. Lord, may we set aside any preconceived ideas. May you help us with our misunderstandings, that we may see exactly what you would have for us concerning the Lord's Supper. We thank you again for sending your Son to die for our sins. Without him, we would not be here tonight. Without him, we would not have fellowship one with another. And without him, we could not have communion with you. So we say thank you tonight to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit for all that they have done for us. We pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Luke tells us in Acts 2:42 that the early church did four things. They were obedient to apostolic teaching. They had fellowship with each other. They broke bread with each other, and they prayed continually. Now, this isn't the message that I want to spend my time on, but if the church wants to get back to being the church that we see in the book of Acts, we will highlight those four things. The focus tonight, though, is on the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread here is speaking of special fellowship meals that came to be called Feast of Charity. The Apostle Jude, in his epistle, in verse number 12, references these feasts that were taking place in the early church. These congregational meals stressed fellowship, affection, and mutual caring for one another. This emphasis on oneness and communion naturally led into the observance of the Lord's Supper, which would take place at the end of their meal together. Here, the church at Corinth followed this custom of the early church. But sadly, the Corinthians eventually turned their fellowship meals, their feast of charity, into selfish, gluttonous, and drunken parties. These feasts no longer represented what the Lord had intended for his memorial supper. Now, in verse number 2 of chapter 11, we see that Paul actually praises the Corinthians for some of the doctrines which they had continued in. But by verse number 17 here in our text, Paul could no longer praise these believers when it came to their feast of charity, when it came to the time of the Lord's Supper. Notice again verse number 17, Paul says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse." Rather than the Lord's Supper being a time when the church got better, their feast of charity actually caused them to get worse. The Lord's Supper was supposed to be a time of loving fellowship and unity, but their feast had turned into a time of selfish indulgence and shaming of each other. And Paul here in this passage will teach them that that was a mockery to the very essence of what the Lord's Supper was. So Paul here in verses 17 through 34 is actually writing to stop the perversion that was going on in the Corinthian church. Now, in the midst of all of this, and primarily the ones that we normally focus on, verses 23 through 26, Paul gives us some instruction about what took place at the first Lord's Supper and what they were supposed to do at theirs. But surrounding that, verses 17 to verse 22, and then after that, from really verses 27 to 34, Paul goes back to trying to give them instruction on what they were doing that was wrong. And we have to keep this in mind as we try to understand what Paul is teaching about the Lord's Supper. Now, we're going to look at three things over the next 2 weeks in regards to the Lord's Supper. Tonight, we'll look at one. Next week, we'll look at the other two. First, we're going to look at the perversion of the Lord's Supper, and that's in verses 18 through 22. Then we'll see the purpose of the Lord's Supper, verses 23 through 26, and that's normally what we spend most of our time on. And then we'll look at the preparation for the Lord's Supper in verses 27 through 34. So let's start again tonight by looking at the perversion of the Lord's Supper. Let's start reading there in verse number 18. Paul says, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." So when the Corinthians began gathering in their into their church, rather than building each other up, rather than encouraging one another, rather than praying for one another, Paul says, "You guys are tearing each other up." The word division here literally means tearing or cutting. So they weren't coming to church and provoking unto love and good works. That would be a positive cutting, iron sharpening iron. They weren't doing that. They were literally bickering with each other and arguing with each other and tearing each other down. Paul says, "You guys are full of divisions. You're full of cuttings." And far too often, this happens in many a church. Churches are not known for their unity. They're known for their fighting and their division and their quarreling. And my brothers and sisters, may that not happen in our church. May our church have a spirit of humility, a spirit of meekness. We will get on each other's nerves. We will say some things at times which are hurtful. But we ought to have a spirit of humility and meekness where we're not trying to tear each other down, but we come with an attitude of trying to lift each other up. We're here to worship and glorify God, not make a point against another brother or sister in Christ. And unfortunately, in the Corinthian church, that's what they were there for. They were trying to lift themselves up by pushing other people down. Paul says, I can't praise you in this. We also see, as we're going to go through the text here, that the Corinthians were divided socially. What I mean by that, there was a higher class in the church and there was a lower class in the church. And listen, in every church you're going to have that. You're going to have rich people and you're going to have poor people and you're going to have the middle class. It's just what it is. The same was in the Corinthian church. But what was happening is the wealthy people all congregated and they shamed the poor that were in their congregation. And Paul says, I can't praise you in this. Look with me at verse 21. We'll get here eventually, but notice verse 21. He says, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. Verse 33, Paul's instruction to them is this, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. What was going on in the Corinthian church is the wealthy people had means, they had money, they could buy food. And when they were coming to the church, they came early and they congregated in their little sect and they ate all the food. And then the poor believers showed up to church and there was nothing left. And Paul says, that's wrong. You're going against what the church is all about. Yes, there may be wealthy and poor in the church, but in Christ, all are equal. This was far from the example of the early church. Acts 2, 44 through 45, the Bible says, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. You know what the early church was all about? Each other. You know what the Corinthian church was about? Me. The early church was all for one, one for all. The Corinthian church was me, myself, and I, every man for himself. And Paul says that's not the Lord's Supper. We'll get to that in just a second. You're abusing, you're perverting what this time is meant to be. Paul stressed this in chapter 12, verse number 13, if you just go over a page in your Bible. Paul says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink in one Spirit. You see, the great heresy of the Corinthian church, which brought about God's condemnation and God's judgment upon them, was that they did not properly discern the Lord's body. Notice that in verse number 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Why? Not discerning the Lord's body. What is the Lord's body? Us. We are the body of Christ. The Corinthians were not correctly discerning that. They saw wealthy and they saw poor. Now there were wealthy and there were poor. But they had not properly discerned that all are equal in the church. They saw masters and they saw slaves. But they had not properly discerned that all are equal in the church. They saw men and they saw women, but they did not properly distinguish that they were equal. They saw adults and they saw children, but they did not properly discern that they were equal. All are equal in Christ's body. The Corinthians had forgotten this. And notice what Paul says in verse number 22. He says, what? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Notice this question now. Or despise ye the church of God? You know what the great fault of the Corinthian church was that brought God's condemnation upon them, where they were eating and drinking damnation to themselves as they were despising their brothers and sisters in Christ? The wealthy came, they brought the food, they ate all the food. The poor came, there was nothing for them. And Paul says, you eat and drink damnation to yourself. You're not properly discerning the Lord's body. You're despising the church when you do those things. Verse number 19. Paul says, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Paul was well aware that divisions could not be entirely avoided in the church. The reason is there always will be tares among the wheat. And sadly, there will always be disobedient believers that live according to their flesh. In every church, there will be divisions. In every church, there will be heresies. But it's interesting what the apostle says here. These heresies are actually a good thing. Now, why would they be a good thing? They're not good in that people argue and bicker and people live according to their flesh. But notice again what Paul says. They reveal something in the church. He says that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. The worldliness and fleshly disobedience of some in the church highlight the love and spirituality of others. Now, we don't say that to get on our soapbox and say, I'm better than somebody else. But the disobedience that you do see in some of your brothers and sisters in Christ, sadly, only shows who they are. And then it manifests who you are. There are unspiritual people in our church. There are spiritual people in our church. And the carnality of one reveals the spirituality of the other. Paul says there must be these. Or otherwise, how would you know who the spiritual ones are? I mean, honestly, if you're looking for wisdom, who do you go to? The people that seem very spiritual to you. How do you know they're spiritual? By the way they act. Their faithfulness to church. Their kindness to one another. And you go to that person. Or at least you should. Because they're showing that they are approved. The other brothers and sisters, sadly, are showing that they're disobedient. Now again, we don't get on our high horse. But such is the case. The disobedience of some highlights the spirituality of others. As bad and hurtful as worldly people are in any church, they're actually used by God to reveal who are the approved, who are the faithful, who are the spiritual. Now, because of their constant divisions in carnality, Paul said that when they came together to eat the Lord's Supper, it actually wasn't the Lord's Supper at all. Notice this in verse number 20. He says, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. So even though the Corinthians said they were having the Lord's Supper, Paul says, you're not having the Lord's Supper. Oh yeah, you came and ate. Oh yeah, you passed a cup. Oh yeah, you passed some bread. That wasn't the Lord's Supper. They had a feast, but they did not have a feast of charity. They had a meal, but they did not have communion. And sadly, the same can be true in any church, even ours. Any church can go through the motions of the Lord's Supper and it not be the Lord's Supper at all. Just because we pass the bread and pass the cup doesn't actually mean we're partaking of the Lord's Supper unless we do it properly. If you come and think the Lord's Supper is all about you, which is what the Corinthians were doing, you're not partaking of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, first and foremost, is about Him. And as we'll see just a little bit here in our text, it's about each other. If you think the Lord's Supper is all about you, this is not the Lord's Supper. You may be taking a drink and eating a little bit. It's not the Lord's Supper. Because you're not properly discerning the Lord's body. Now, how did Paul know that what they were doing wasn't about the Lord's Supper? Verse 21. Paul says, "For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken." Paul said, I know exactly that this is not the Lord's Supper because of how you're eating it. As I mentioned earlier, the poor believers came to the supper expecting to share in the food that was brought by the wealthy. But when they arrived, there was no food. It was all gone. Those that brought the food and the drink gorged themselves and became drunk. In so doing, Paul says, they mock the very purpose of the occasion. And the Lord's Supper is to show harmony and unity among those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a part of the Lord's Supper is for us to focus on the unity that we have because of Jesus Christ. When you got saved, you became one with Christ. But don't forget this, when you got saved, you became one with all the other brothers and sisters in Christ. Go back with me to chapter 10. I think many Christians forget this when it comes to the Lord's Supper. Again, first and foremost, it's about Him. But secondly, it is about your brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. We looked at this verse last week. Paul says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" Now notice this. "For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread." As we partake of the bread in the Lord's Supper, we are not only reminded of the physical body of Jesus Christ, we are also reminded of the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. What is or who is the spiritual body of Christ? Us. Not just you. Us. The church. Again, if you're saved, you are in Christ. And if He is the bread, then guess what you are? Guess what we are? Paul says it. Verse 17. "For we being many are one bread." So this bread doesn't just remind us of the body of the Lord Jesus. It does. It does remind us of the physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what else it's supposed to remind you of? Your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because they are all part of that one bread. We are the bread with Christ. The Lord's Supper not only reminds us of the communion that we have with God because of Christ, it also reminds us of the communion that we have with each other because of Christ. And this is what most Christians forget or miss altogether when it comes to the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper isn't just about me and the Lord. It's about us and the Lord. This is why we don't pass them out and you go home and do it yourself. If that was the Lord's Supper, you could do that. That's not the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is an us thing. If you come and all you do is think about you and the Lord, you've missed the point of the Lord's Supper. You're like, what? It's not just about you and the Lord. It's about us and the Lord. Us, the church. Again, we spoke about this a week ago. The Corinthians were not treating the Lord's Supper as a family meal. You do not sit at the table alone. Again, the way we sit now, you forget that. But put yourself at a table, God's table, like those in the back that we all sit around. You do not sit alone here. You sit with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you eat together with them. The Lord's Supper is a family meal, and we need to treat it as a family meal. If you come just expecting it to be about you, you've missed the point. You're on the right road, don't get me wrong, but you've missed the point. This is a family meal where we all sit at the table with the Lord. Verse 22. Paul says, what? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Again, the Corinthians had turned the Lord's Supper in a time just to fill their bellies. Paul said, if you've just come to indulge your stomach, stay at home. The Lord's Supper is not about food. The Lord's Supper is not about getting your fill. Paul says, if you're gathering just to eat, don't you have a house for that? Stay and eat at home. That's not what this supper is about. Now, we've really exploited that, and all we pass out now is a little piece of cracker and a little thing of juice. No one really thinks that this is a supper. But again, how it really took place in the church was a big supper, like our fellowship meals. They had lots of food. And they got to the point where they thought about it was all about the food. And Paul says, it's not about the food. Yes, you're eating at the Lord's Supper because food is a part of it. But it's not about the food. If it's about the food, if you're that hungry, stay at home. Go to the end there, verse number 34. He says it to them again. He says, if any man hunger, let him eat at home. If you're that hungry, that you're going to come and gorge yourself, eat at home. Because it's not really about the food. Yes, there's food here, and we will partake of the food. But it's not all about the food. Now, let me add here, the fellowship meals that we have at our church aren't necessarily about the food either. They're about the fellowship. They're about the unity and oneness. So guess what that means? I'm not hungry is not an excuse to miss a fellowship meal. I've heard it. I'm not trying to be mean. You're going to stay for the fellowship meal? I'm not hungry. It's not about the food. It's not about the food. Yes, we have food. It's not about the food. It's about fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. I've heard this. I didn't bring anything. That's not a legitimate excuse because it's not about the food. And plus, we have other people that have brought stuff and we want to share with you. We can't share if everybody brings. Now, don't stop bringing because you want somebody to share. Okay, bring food. But the point is, why do we bring so much food? Because we want people to stay that don't have. And we want with a full conscience to tell them, there's plenty of food. Join us for fellowship. You don't have, maybe because you're poor, or maybe because you don't have time. That's fine. It's not about food. It's about fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't miss that point. They had gone to the other extreme, and it was all about food. We've kind of gone the other way. Well, it's not about food. I didn't bring any. It's not about food either way. It's about fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Stay and be a part of the fellowship. But again, back to the Corinthians here, many of them were using the time of the Lord's Supper to despise God's church and shame those that didn't have anything. And Paul says, shame on you. You're eating and drinking damnation to yourself. Not just eating this. When they ate that bowl of soup and they didn't share it, Paul says, you eat and you drink damnation to yourself. Why? Because you're not discerning the Lord's body. You think it's all about you. It's not about you. If there's one bowl of soup left and there's another brother, you give it to him or you share it. That's what it's about. But the Corinthians made it all about themselves. I'm hungry. Who cares? There's 15 more people that need to eat. Share. It's about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, we'll get to this next week, but this is the unworthy manner that Paul is speaking about in verses 27 through 29. Again, because we don't understand the context, we pull these out and we beat people over the head for any sin they might commit. Again, I'm not saying we shouldn't confess sin before we come to the Lord's Supper, but I'm saying the particular issue, the perversion that was going on that Paul had to correct and that brought God's damnation upon them were selfish people who made the Lord's Supper all about their bellies and all about themselves. And Paul says, you eat and drink damnation if you eat that way. The Corinthians were eating selfishly and with prejudice in their heart. He's a Gentile. I'm a Jew. I'm not sharing my food. They ate it. Paul says, you eat and drink damnation. Oh, she's a woman. I'm a man. I'm going to eat my food. You eat and drink damnation. Oh, he's a slave. I'm a master. I'm the higher class. I'm not sharing my food with him. Paul says, you eat and drink damnation to yourself because you're not discerning the Lord's body. You're not understanding who the body of Christ is, and you're shaming them and you're despising them. Selfishness and prejudice. This manner of eating the Lord's Supper was a desecration to the Lord's Supper. And Paul says, God will judge you for that. God will chasten you for that. So the Corinthians had perverted the Lord's Supper. They thought it was all about themselves, and they ate with division and prejudice. Now think about yourself. How do you treat the time of the Lord's Supper? Now, some of that is not so applicable tonight because we're not eating a fellowship meal together. But how do you view the times of the fellowship meal? Yes, look at personal sin in your life. I'm not against that. But you need to look at how you treat your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what Paul is getting at. If you're treating them in a wrong way, when it comes to the table, that's when you eat and drink damnation to yourself. This was the perversion that Paul had to correct when it came to the Corinthian church. Now, next week, again, we'll just briefly mention this, verses 23 through 26. Paul then ushers in the purpose for the Lord's Supper. And then in verses 27 through 34, Paul ends with how they were to prepare for the Lord's Supper. And again, we will finish both of those points next week.